Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Tommy Barnett. He is, he's a Christian statesman. He is a gentleman who has been used of the Lord in so many wonderful ways and has very successfully passed the vision to the next generation. He is currently the global pastor of the Dream City Church in Phoenix, Arizona, where his son Luke now leads as senior pastor. But he and his son Matthew co-founded the Dream Center in Los Angeles, which is an inner city church and outreach center that touches the lives of 50,000 people each month. Between this man and his sons, they are making a huge impact in the world. And the reason is because they all know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that makes all the difference. Now, Tommy's on our broadcast tonight because he has a new book. It's titled, What If? My Story of Believing God for More, Always More. Tommy, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. It's such a delight to be on the program with you.
Now, you have been in ministry for more than a few years.
Yes, 68 years.
That's tremendous. That is just tremendous.
Started when I was 16 years of age, and I go to school in the winter and summer. I would hold youth meetings, and I'm now 82 years of age. So
tremendous.
It's been a wonderful trip.
That is tremendous. Well, and along the way, you have seen again and again and again that God is faithful.
Again and again and again, you're right. It never runs out, the faithfulness of God.
Amen. And in the process, you have also seen and demonstrated that he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine.
Yes, I get asked again and again, did you expect all the blessings? Did you expect to pastor one of America's largest churches? Did you ever expect to have a dream center? You know, we didn't go to L.A. to build a dream center. We went over there to build a church.
Yes.
Nobody had ever built a dream center. It was something no one had ever heard of. But we learned that the church was really the people. And it was easy to get people saved. We'd have 100 people saved at an outreach. Mm. But we noticed we couldn't keep them. Mm. We had to get them away from the pimps mm-hmm. and from the gang members and from the traffickers. And so we began to disciple them into about 16 houses mm-hmm. that the church had bought up over a period of years. Mm-hmm. But soon every house was filled, and we needed a bigger place. And that's when we found the Queen of Angels Hospital with 1,400 rooms, 400,000 square feet, 16 stories high, on 10 acres, right on the Hollywood Freeway, right in the middle of Hollywood's mess. And it became the Dream Center now, where 900 people live there. 900 people come in off of drugs and alcohol and just every kind of addiction that you could imagine. Nobody pays, and it is a work of the grace of God.
Amen.
The only way you can explain the Dream Center is God was in it, God has provided, and God has kept it. God's protected it.
Amen. Amen. I think the story is absolutely amazing. And as you say, the only explanation is God. And that's the kind of thing God likes to do. I often remind people that when God was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, he deliberately led them by a path that would cause people to think they were lost, because he was setting up the Egyptian army. And God says in the text that he led them around this way and then back around this way so that it would appear that they were lost. And yet when the Egyptian army comes to retake them, God has brought them right up to the shore of the Red Sea. Now, that is not a situation any of us would want to script. None of us would want to put ourselves in that situation. But they didn't put themselves in that situation. God was leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Egyptians thought, these guys are lost. But God knew he had a plan. And the plan was to do something so great that we're still talking about it today. And I believe if the Lord tarries, even though I'm eager for the Lord to return, if the Lord tarries, people are going to be talking about the Dream Center and about the way God used your faithfulness to display his faithfulness and his power and these lives that are being changed. That's God's work.
You're exactly right. And you know, those children of Israel were going a way that they'd never gone before.
Amen.
They didn't know the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Dream Center, it's gone a way that nobody's ever gone before.
Right.
And definitely we have been led by the cloud and the pillar. We had to, because we weren't trained in cross-cultural evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
We were not trained in social work. We just went there loving people and loving God and knowing we had a big God that could take care of all of our needs. And you know, that's how God has led me through the years. And that's really what we talk about in this book. A lot of people testify that they heard a voice from God,
mm-hmm.
or they saw a vision, or they had a dream. I believe in all of that. But the way that God has always led me is he opened up an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, you know, that could be God. But I would never know it was God until I went down that trail. And one of the ways that I knew when I went down that road was there was always provision for the vision.
Amen.
If there's no provision for the vision, it's pretty well can be explained that that probably wasn't God leading you.
Amen.
Because he does give provision for the vision.
Amen.
And so through the years, we talk about in the book of opportunities that we look at and say, what if I went down that road? That could be God. That may be God. But you never know if God was really in it unless you take that first step. The Bible said that God would give grace along the way. He doesn't give us starting grace, but once we get started, God gives us grace along the way.
Amen. Amen. You know, your faithfulness across the years, which is a manifestation of God's faithfulness, but the way that you have served the Lord and stayed on track and helped other people who got off track is really a wonderful encouragement for young guys like me who are just in our 60s.
Well, you are a kid.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just a child. That's one of the reasons I love your ministry and I love your book is you make me feel young, brother. And not many people can do that. So, but you are an example of one who has stayed the course, who has been faithful, and I rejoice in that. I was blessed to have a godly father who was a pastor. And
yes.
So I know that it's possible for a man to stay faithful to God, but sadly, there are so many spectacular failures, so many
yes.
debacles, that I think a lot of people just kind of give up even aspiring to being in ministry long-term and staying true. And you are a model of one who points people back to the Lord and says it's worth it. It's worth obeying him because God has
yes.
dreams that are bigger than yours.
You hit it right there. You know, I always tell people they should never catch up with their dream. once they reach it, they need to set their dream a little bit higher. I'm often asked this question, Pastor Barnett, if you could live your life over again, is there anything you'd do different? Hmm. And I really had to think about that because I'm not a man that looks backwards. I always look to the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
It was Douglas MacArthur, the great general, who said, you can tell if a man is young or old whether he looks at the sunrise or the sunset. And I've always been a sunrise watcher.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know what, I better think about that because the older I get, I'm asked more about that. What would you have done different? Well, there's two things that I've done different. Number one, I would have dreamed bigger dreams.
Mm.
And number two, I would have taken greater risk.
Mm.
Because any dream that I dream, God just blew that out of the water and did something greater. And every risk that I took, God showed up and blessed that risk in a great way.
Praise God.
Because God is truly exceedingly abundantly able to do above anything we ask or we even think. So I say to the young men, dream big dreams. Believe God. Take risks for God because God comes through.
Amen. Amen. He is faithful. Now, you have certainly seen God's power to save. You've seen God's power to deliver people from spiritual bondage, from addictions. You've also seen God's power to heal. And yet in your own life, you have experienced what it is to need and receive medical care. You had a very serious heart surgery. Tell us a little bit about that and the struggle that you faced afterwards. You share that in your book. And I think that's something that's important for folks to hear and understand.
Yes, Jim, I've always been very healthy. I always played sports, and when I was 60 years of age, I ran from Phoenix to L.A., 436 miles, to raise money for the Dream Center, and we were able to raise $750,000. But I lost all my toenails.
Mm.
My feet swelled from 9.5s to 12s.
Goodness.
I never experienced such, you know, experience in my life. Mm-hmm. But it's also one of the great experiences. So I was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
My heart was healthy. But one day after having pneumonia, the doctor discovered that I had a leaky heart valve.
Mm-hmm.
Not a heart attack, but a leaky heart valve. So I had heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never been depressed in my entire life. That's just not my nature. No one ever told me that after a heart operation that it's very common to go through depression.
Mm-hmm.
So for the 3 months I was home, boy, I'd never been so depressed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared of everything, and I've always been kind of fearless, a risk taker in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, man, I went through great depression. But finally, I got well enough to go to church. I made my son, you know, pastor during that time while I was recovering. And then I thought, you know what, God has blessed him since I've been recuperating, so I just made him the lead pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But as I sat there on the front row and I began to get well, I thought, my goodness, I feel better than I've ever felt. I could pastor again. I thought, you know what, I better get a bigger dream. I've always preached that you should never catch up with your dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a new dream. And Jim, here's what the dream was. My dream for the rest of my life, a dream that will take me to the finish line, is to help other people reach their dream.
Praise God.
And so today, as chancellor of the largest full gospel university in the world, that's helping young people reach their dreams. When I go out and preach conferences, this year I'll do probably, well, about 25
mm-hmm.
conferences, and I'll be speaking at a church every weekend. I'm helping those pastors reach their dream. So my life, that's what it's about, and it's the most exciting life that one could live. One of the great things about getting older is that you get to see some of the people that you've raised up to do great things for God.
Amen.
And about 5 of the 10 largest churches in America have people that have come to our Dream Conference and have testified that it was there that their life was turned around.
Praise God.
The great Chris Hodges in Birmingham is one of them. Mm-hmm. The great Jensen Franklin is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Great, I could go on and on and on. So I tell people that I'm now the global pastor, and I just go around the world clipping off coupons of the blessings of the Lord that I have seen come to pass.
That's tremendous. Well, and I the reason I wanted you to mention the experience with depression is because that was not something that came on you as a result of sin. That was something that was a physically induced situation, but it had huge ramifications as far as emotionally and mentally how you felt. And you were in the depths with that. Brand new experience for you, a trial you'd never faced before, and yet I also want folks to hear, you came out of it. You didn't stay there. God brought you through. And, you know, if you're listening today and you're in the midst of depression and you feel like, you know, is this my fault? Is there something I did? Not necessarily. There can be a very real, profound physical condition, and you ought to get help for it. But above all else, know that the Lord is able to bring you through it and bring you out the other side. And the gentleman that we're talking with right now, I think you can tell, and I know you'll be able to tell if you read this book, he's not depressed at this point. God has brought him through that experience, and he's ministering again to many other people and experiencing tremendous joy and purpose and being used of the Lord in his 80s. And that's important. I had a woman who called me. She said, I can't go on. I just want to die. She'd had a stroke. She was going to have to learn to walk and feed herself and all these things again. She said, I don't want to do it. I just want to die. And I said, God hasn't given you that option. He could have taken you easily. And instead, you're going to have to fight your way back. And several years later, she told me, I am so glad you told me I didn't have that choice. So I want folks to know they can trust God as you have.
Well, you're exactly right. I had a lady one time come in my office. She was depressed and say, can you help me? And I said, yeah, I can. By the way, this is Joyce Meyer's favorite story that I tell. You know, I'm her pastor. And so I said, what you need to do is go home, bake some cookies, and take it down to the old folks' home and pass it out.
Mm.
Well, she just got mad. She got up and said, what's it got to do with my depression? And stomped out of the office. Well, I'd see her at church, and on the other side of the church, and she tried to ignore me, and I'd wave at her. She just turned her head and walked away. I tell this in my book. One day I came around the corner, almost ran into her. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. How you doing? Fine. I said, well, how's your depression coming? She said, I canceled it. I said, well, what'd you do? She said, I baked some cookies. And I took them down to the old folks' home. So I'm saying to you, sometime we just need to bake some cookies.
Yep.
And pass them out. Get our heart and our mind on other people's needs.
Yes.
And God will take care of our needs.
Amen. Amen. I have a friend who has battled depression, physically based problem. He's battled that depression for decades, and he still has to battle it. But he does exactly what you're describing. When he's having a horrible time, he will focus on somebody else whose need he can address, a way that he can help others, and God has used him to bless so many people because he knows that the best thing he can do with his time is not focusing on how badly he feels. The best thing he can do with his time is to serve the needs of others.
Well, you know, Jim, in this book, we talk about, you know, they have a wonderful childhood day. Born on a ranch in Texas, largest ranch, second largest ranch in the world.
Wow.
In an oil field, my granddad's house. I take them through, you know, the early years as a tent evangelist, teenage boy,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to love that. I'll tell how they had a chance to be on something that would be like the American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
I'd won again and again, turned it down to go to a little tent revival. I talk about the three major revivals, going back to the Voice of Healing
mm-hmm.
revival, where the great men, that many of them are legends, they stayed in my dad's home. I knew them well.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about the revivals of the past, the one we're in right now, what destroyed each one of them.
Mm.
I think they'll like it. One of the major parts is talking about raising through three children that are life changers.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we do to raise these kids
mm-hmm.
the way we did? I really believe this book will help multitudes of people. I know one TV station heard about it and ordered 3,000 books.
Praise
God.
And
they've even ordered more. So we know that God's going to use this in a great way. And I believe this will help everybody take them through life
mm-hmm.
and even take them through struggle that was the biggest struggle of our life.
Mm-hmm.
When my son Matthew was almost killed at the Dream Center,
mm-hmm.
it almost destroyed her, put her into panic attacks
mm-hmm.
that she fought for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but God delivered her.
Praise
and
God.
How we had to go on through this struggle. You know, these are things that we don't talk about much as mm-hmm. the Barnetts because
mm-hmm.
we're looking at the sunny side of life.
Yeah.
But we felt like in this book it would really help people as they win the battles and fight the battle.
Amen. Amen. And again, I appreciate so much your sharing that. And I think that many people who have not dared to dream will be encouraged to get before God and say, Lord, I don't want to ask you to fulfill my little wishes. I want to submit myself to you and let you do whatever you want with my life. And, you know, I here at our school in Tennessee, we over and over go back to the story of the loaves and fish. It's the one miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children is the one miracle in all four Gospels. And we talk about how that little boy took all that he had, not part of his lunch, but all that he had, and put it in Jesus' hands. And who could have imagined that with that little boy's lunch, small loaves, small fish, he would feed that huge crowd? Only God dreams that big, but he gives those dreams to his children if we're willing to believe and obey.
Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. Yes, God, he can do a lot with a little.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll just give him the opportunity, that's all he's waiting for.
Yeah.
And again, that's how I live my life. God opened an opportunity, and that led to another opportunity
mm-hmm.
and another opportunity. You know, I never expected to be Brian Houston's pastor. I can
mm-hmm.
go down the list of, I never expected that.
Yeah.
I never expected to be the chancellor of a university.
Mm-hmm.
I never graduated from university.
Mm-hmm.
When they asked me to be the chancellor, I was so dumb, I thought they was talking about a chandelier. But you know what? God can take a yielded vessel.
Yes.
And he can use that vessel if we're just available.
Amen. Amen. Folks, our guest, Tommy Barnett, has a wonderful new book. It's titled, What If? It is available everywhere.
Thank you so much, Jim. And they can order that also with TommyBarnett.com.
Great.
That's our website.
TommyBarnett.com. Thank you for coming on the broadcast, Tommy. We really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.